Thank you for the introduction. Again, my name is Caitlin Gattoni. I'm a master's student at Auburn University, and today I'll be presenting my research. So just a brief background, I'm amyloid gyna incognita, or the southern root knot nematode. The main symptom is galling, as can be seen in the picture, one of the top pictures indicated by the red arrows. It's an economically important pest, causing losses of 2.78% in cotton in 2018. A nematode can be managed through various different strategies. One of the more popular ones is biological control. Biological control can occur by two different mechanisms, either direct antagonism or indirect antagonism of the nematode. Direct antagonism often occurs through the release of metabolites or predation, and indirect antagonism often occurs by systemic resistance. This involves induced systemic resistance and systemic acquired resistance. Induced systemic resistance refers to the activation of plant defenses by plant growth promoting rhizobacteria, typically involving jasmonic acid. Systemic acquired resistance occurs by the broad spectrum systemic expression of pathogenesis-related genes induced by salicylic acid. It's important to note here that salicylic acid and jasmonic acid interact by a negative crosstalk, so you typically only have one of these pathways induce systemic resistance or systemic acquired resistance acting at one time. The main research question I will be focusing on is, can bacillus species cause a systemic response that will allow the plant to defend itself against amyloid gyna incognita? To do this, I have five main experiments. The first is a greenhouse test to determine the efficacy of the bacillus species I've chosen to work with. For this, we planted cotton seeds in a polystyrene pot, inoculated those with 5,000 amyloid gyna incognita eggs per mil and one of the following treatments. These treatments include a control, Bacillus firmus, I1582, the active ingredient of Bayer's Votivo, Bacillus amylifications, QST713, the active ingredient of Bayer's Serenade, Bacillus pumilus, GB34, Bacillus valenzensis, strain 2, and Bacillus mohavensis, strain 3, all obtained from Dr. Klepper's lab at Auburn University. We also used a chemical control of fluopyrin. After 30 days, the plant parameters were measured and the eggs were counted. These are the results of that test. The blue bars indicate the biomass, and the orange line indicates the eggs per gram of root. There was no difference in the biomass between any of the treatments, but with eggs per gram of root, we saw that two treatments, Bacillus firmus and Bacillus amylifications, were able to decrease the number of eggs per gram of root compared to the control, and similar to that of our chemical control, fluopyrin, indicating that these two may be the most effective in controlling the nematode out of the bacteria we screened. Next, we did an in vitro assay, and this was to determine any direct antagonism these bacillus species may have on the nematode. For this, we extracted metabolites from 6-day-old bacteria. We then added 10 microliters containing about 30 amyloid gyna incognita J2s and 90 microliters of bacteria, metabolites, or water to each well of a 96-well plate. We did not include fluopyrin in this test because fluopyrin is an opaque white color and we could not see through it to count the live and dead nematodes. The live and dead nematodes were counted at 0 and 48 hours. From this, we determined a percent mortality. Each treatment is color-coded. For example, the red bar is the control. The two green bars following it are Bacillus firmus and its metabolites. The next ones are Bacillus subtilis, and so on. For Bacillus firmus, it was able to increase percent mortality significantly compared to the control, almost killing 80% of the nematodes. This was the intact bacteria and the metabolite. We can conclude that this one does have a direct effect on the nematode. For Bacillus amylifications, the next two bars, we saw that the metabolites were able to increase percent mortality, but the intact bacteria was not. So for this, we cannot conclude currently that it has a direct antagonism against the nematode. More information would be needed on the metabolites to conclude that. From this data set, we can conclude that Bacillus firmus was the only bacteria to directly antagonize the nematode. The next assay we did was a split root assay, and this was to determine any systemic capabilities. First, we germinated cotton seeds in a germination paper for about 6 days. We cut the taproot 1 millimeter from the end and planted that in a sand and fertilizer mixture. After about 1 to 2 weeks, when two equivalent root systems had developed, we planted those in two containers positioned immediately next to each other. We positioned the shoot in a small plastic cup with the bottom cut off. We inoculated those with bacteria and nematodes, and we measured the plant parameters and counted the eggs after 30 days. For this assay, we had to have 5 different setups for each treatment. 3 were a control, with the first one being just a control with no inoculum on either side. The second was a nematode control with a nematode inoculated on root half B. The third was a bacteria or a chemical control with a chemical or bacteria inoculated on root half A. The fourth was, again, to determine any direct antagonistic characteristics of the bacteria, and that had bacteria and the nematode inoculated on root half A and nothing inoculated on root half B. The fifth setup would really determine any systemic resistance, as the bacteria was inoculated on the opposite side of the nematode. So the only way it could cause nematode numbers to decrease was if it stimulated resistance within the plant. These are the results from that. We'll be focusing on any results that involve nematodes, as none of the plant parameters were significantly different between any of the treatments, but the nematode numbers were. If you need a reference, the setups that we will be looking at are on the top bar. Each treatment is color-coded, with the first red color being the control with only Moloidogyne incognita inoculation. The second 2 bars are fluopyrim. These are in blue. These are a good example of what we would see when we did not have systemic resistance, as Moloidogyne incognita numbers were decreased when the fluopyrim was inoculated concomitantly with the nematode, but not when it was inoculated on the opposite side. The second 2 green bars are Bacillus firmus, and the next 2 tan bars are Bacillus amylifications. For both of these, we did see a systemic effect. When we inoculated the bacteria with the nematode on the same side, as you can see in the first bar in each color, there was a decrease in the number of nematode eggs per gram of root. And when we inoculated them on opposite side, the second 2 bars in each color, there was also a decrease in the number of eggs per gram of root. This had to be because of a systemic response within the plant. The other 3 treatments did not have a systemic response. We only saw it with Bacillus firmus and Bacillus amylifications. The next assay we did was an RT-qPCR to determine levels of genes correlating to jasmonic acid and salicylic acid levels. For this, we planted cotton in containers, and after about 2 to 3 weeks, when the cotton was at the second true leaf stage, we inoculated the plants with the following treatments. We had a control with no inoculum of bacteria or nematode, a Moloidogyne incognita treatment, Bacillus firmus and Bacillus amylifications. The Bacillus firmus and Bacillus amylifications treatment were only inoculated with bacteria. There was no nematode inoculated on these plants. Root samples were taken at various time points and immediately frozen in liquid nitrogen. The RNA was extracted and the cDNA was synthesized. For this assay, we looked at 3 different genes, a histone control, housekeeping gene, 12-oxophytodienoate reductase 3, or OPR3. This is often used as it correlates with jasmonic acid levels, beta-1,3-glucanase, which correlates with salicylic acid levels. These are the results of that assay. The first top graph is the results for Moloidogyne incognita. And as you can see, at about 1 hour, we had a large increase in OPR3 and glucanase activity, indicating salicylic acid and jasmonic acid response. However, after 3 hours, we saw a decrease in OPR3, and after 12 hours, we saw a decrease in glucanase. This indicates that the nematode effectors are decreasing the activity of salicylic acid and jasmonic acid. This has been seen quite often in previous literature. For the bottom two graphs, the Bacillus amyloefaciens and Bacillus firmus, we saw similar trends with both of them. Initially, at 1 hour, we saw an increase in glucanase and salicylic acid activity and a downregulation of OPR3 and jasmonic acid. For Bacillus amyloefaciens, this remained until hour 12, and sometime between hour 12 and hour 96, we saw an increase in OPR3 and jasmonic acid and a decrease in glucanase and salicylic acid. This remained until week 1, and we don't have any data points further after that. For Bacillus firmus, we saw a similar trend. However, the Bacillus firmus was able to maintain high salicylic acid and glucanase levels until 96 hours, when we saw a decrease in glucanase and salicylic acid levels at 1 week. And we saw an increase in OPR3 and jasmonic acid levels at the same time point as we saw with Bacillus amyloefaciens. This information indicates that the initial response of the plant to these bacteria is more of a systemic acquired response, in that salicylic acid is upregulated at first and jasmonic, and it switches to an induced systemic response where jasmonic acid is then upregulated. This is similar to previous research done with trichoderma that saw that this was able to effectively control, this response was effectively able to control myeloid gamma incognita. The final assay we did was to determine the concentration of the bacteria on the root systems after 24 days. For this, we used 7 milliliter tubes and 2 mm silicon beads, and we extracted the bacteria from the soil and the rhizosphere. We used a bead beater and took the centrifuge these samples. We took the supernatant and used the Zymo soil microbe kit to extract the DNA. We did a qPCR involving TAC and TAC probes, and these are the results of that. Initially, we took known concentrations of the bacteria and did a qPCR with that. We plotted the CQ values for that against the known concentrations and determined standards. We used those standard equations to determine levels of the bacteria after 24 days. The initial inoculum level was 10 to the 8th, and after 24 days, Bacillus amyloefaciens had a concentration of about 10 to the 5th, and Bacillus firmus had a concentration of about 10 to the 4th colony-forming units per mil. This indicates that the bacteria was able to reasonably colonize the plant roots, and this is similar results as obtained by Dr. Leo de la Fuente at Auburn University, who did this similar project on corn roots. The conclusions of these experiments are that Bacillus firmus I1582 can directly and indirectly suppress myeloid gamma incognita. Bacillus amyloefaciens QST713 can indirectly suppress myeloid gamma incognita, and both may cause systemic resistance by initially increasing salicylic acid dependent defenses, followed by a subsequent increase in jasmonic acid dependent defenses. And I'd like to thank everyone who helped me with this research, and I'll take any questions. We extracted the nematodes from both sides to make sure that there weren't nematodes on one side, so that's how we did that for the nematodes. For bacteria, it was a little harder. I just had to be more aware of how we were watering them to make sure that we didn't water them to get splashing between the two systems. And then the little cup in the middle seemed to prevent a lot of the splashing, actually, between the two containers. So we're fairly certain we didn't have any cross-contamination, but because the potential for cross-contamination was there, that's why we really wanted to do the qPCR results to ensure that it was actually because of the bacteria, not because the bacteria was getting to the nematodes.
So the two bacteria that you had on your final slide, one of those was a commercial product and one wasn't, or I can't remember.
Both of those are commercial products. Bayer's Votivo is used for nematode control. They don't know the mechanism of action of it, and Bayer's Serenade is often used as a fungicide, but it has been hinted at that it may be used as a nematicide in the future, so we're looking for how well it can do that.
So what do you think, based on your results, how well do you think the Serenade could perform as a nematicide?
I thought it was pretty decent. I need a lot more data to say that it would be a really good nematicide, but I thought it was pretty decent.
Any more questions?
I might have missed this. How do you actually inoculate the bacteria? What
was
the range?
For the concentration assay at the end, it was a little higher at about 10 to the 8th. That was because we were following a different protocol. But during all the other assays, it was about 10 to the 6th.
And you inoculate into the soil
directly? Yes, with water. Bayer is currently using the Votivo as a seed treatment, and it has been effective in that way. We're not using seed treatments just because it would be much more difficult to control all of the different variables, especially in the split root system. But I think both of them may be able to be used as seed treatments. I'm not exactly sure about the Serenade. I'm not super familiar with that product because as a seed treatment, it is usually used as a foliar fungicide, though.
Yeah, and I'm not familiar with the inoculation process of bacteria, but I mean, I'm just curious if you think the amount that you use would be enough to prevent the disease.
I think it's a pretty standard amount. Most people use about 10 to the 6th. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, Brett.